everybody across the land. Here's a special from Sequel Cast, though I don't know what it's gonna be about. Maybe Woody Allen, maybe Spike Lee, maybe Technicolor, maybe 3D, or maybe you just gotta wait and see. You're gonna find out.
So, hello, welcome, watchers, listeners, however you're getting this. Sequel Cast Special, episode 20. This one is a three-year anniversary show. 3 years of what? Well, it's been a little bit over 3 years since the first Sequel Cast show started. Since then, it's grown into the Sequel Cast family of shows, which include Sequel Cast, Sequel Cast Special. That's not on camera. Ooh, this play is good on audio. Sequel Cast Special, Sequel Commentary, which has been canceled.
Yes, let us moment of silence for Sequel Commentary.
Moment of silence for Sequel Commentary. We'll talk about this show. And debuting in February 2013, Video Game Sequel Cast. A lot of the fans are excited about that. So let's take a look. Let's see. On the Facebook page, I had a post on here about the list of shows we did in 2013.
Very nice.
So, let me pull that up because you don't have it, do you?
Thrilling action, action, action on
action,
the Sequel
action.
Cast.
Well, how about you talk about this, Thrasher? I looked that up on the internet. What do you think, since you started doing Sequel Cast with me in, would have been what, like late 2009, early 2010?
I guess so, yeah.
Yeah.
It was in that first year.
Yeah, exactly. What do you think has changed the most since we started?
Well, we've gotten... we certainly got a lot more ambitious in what we'd review as far as going after bigger franchises, more well-known franchises, and much to our chagrin, long-running franchises. I think we've done... I think in the past year alone, we've done more giant franchises than any other year.
Now, giant franchises, you mean the number of films in the franchise?
Yeah, like anything with more than three films, as far as I'm concerned, is I consider giant for the purposes of this podcast.
You see the list of the stuff we covered, Thrasher?
No, I have not.
I posted it in the chat window.
Well, I am updating Facebook so that my fans can watch.
Okay, well, when you get back to Google chat window, it'll be in there. So, yeah, it's fun talking to, I'm sure podcast listeners love hearing us talking about Facebook windows and Google what's its and Facebook who's its and all that. Yeah, I think the ambition is a big thing. And we'll go year by year what's happened. But before that, some of the highlights, you know, aside from the movies and stuff we've covered. In 2012, we started Sequel Commentary as a podcast in the Sequel Cast family, and we've canceled it.
Yeah, yeah. Which is a shame. Now, I was like a real proponent of that format.
Well, the Sequel Commentary was kind of your baby, Thrasher, I think.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And
then you had to put that baby up for adoption, and then you smothered it in its crib.
I smothered it with a podcast pillow of justice. Of justice. No. So, the idea behind Sequel Commentary, in a way, was to do a long-form improv comedy show that was different from Sequel Cast because it was a live commentary.
Mm-hmm. In the moment. Very in the moment. Although I would always try to do research before each one.
Yeah. And I think it was an interesting challenge. I think part on my end is... I just got a little bit burnt out of doing three movie podcasts, that being Sequel Cast, Sequel Cast Special, Sequel Commentary. But, I mean, all this stuff is great, and you can check it out at sequelcast.com. Mm-hmm. So,
which everyone should be looking at sequelcast.com while watching this live stream or while listening to this, regardless of when and where you are, you should be looking at sequelcast.com.
You know, I think you should buy a second monitor and just have sequelcast.com and facebook.com/sequelcast running on it constantly.
No, no, you should buy a first monitor, because I am tired of people accessing all of our data without any way to really look at it and appreciate it.
It is difficult to track the listener statistics, but that's a it's a nerdy topic for the statistics episode of SequelCast Special.
Glavin!
You know what? You want to know what the most annoying sound in the world is?
I bet it's going to be one of your impressions.
I think that's it. It's Jim Carrey did it better in Dumb and Dumber.
So it wasn't one of your impressions?
No. It was my impression of Jim Carrey playing a character that screams in a comedy from 20 years ago. How's that for reductive? Another big overall thing. Did you see this list I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I've got the list of episodes now. I was going to be classy, not draw
overall
attention.
Thing is I started in August 2012, officially started as a small business, Hipster Goblin, which produces the sequel cast shows, and it also will be producing iOS games and web series, other stuff like that.
Check out the logo I designed, folks.
Yeah, no, Thrasher is a very good logo, Mr. Thrasher. And you can check out their website at hipstergoblin.com. So I'm really excited about that. I know I sound monotone whenever I speak, but I'm trying to get sponsorships. We have affiliates on sequelcast.com and things like that. So we'll see what happens. But it was partially inspired by meeting a friend of the family. What are you typing, Mr. Thrasher?
I'm typing something private.
Very good.
That hopefully will get us more viewers or listeners.
As Thrasher does his sexting, I'll keep on talking.
50 Shades of Me.
50 Shades of Maud. I'm talking about the pubic hair of Maud Simpson. Marge Simpson's sister.
Hey, speaking of Maud, Lady Godiva was a freedom rider. She didn't care if the whole world looked. And Joan of Arc with the Lord beside her. Come on!
Beep. That is a copyright censor beep sound.
No, seriously, so, Maud, the theme song from Maud needs as much exposure as it can get.
Absolutely. You might even call it a Maud Squad. How much exposure it needs.
Which I believe goes like this.
Okay, sure. It's me doing shitty drumming on my crappy desk. Okay.
So, yes, movies.
Hipster Goblin was important in 2013. Sequel commentary starting and ending was a big thing in 2013. But let's talk about in chronological order in the way we reviewed them, the movies we talked about this year. Like you said, bigger franchises. What do you think overall about bigger franchises compared to smaller franchises?
Well,
certainly the more popular franchises get more listeners.
Oh, yeah, and I think that's important. I guess the platonic ideal of sequel cast that exists in my head is that we would do one big popular well-known franchise and then one obscure franchise and then a big popular franchise, then one obscure franchise, and there'd be a special in there somewhere to just cleanse the palate. We used to talk about that a lot, cleansing the palate between series.
We did. I think certainly using smaller franchises in between big ones is a good idea for cleansing palates. And you know my palate needs to be cleansed. It's filthy.
Oh yeah. But that costs extra.
Really, yeah, it does. Two in the stink, one in the podcast. Is that the way the phrase goes? But with the sequel cast over this past year, I'm just proud of the increased community presence on our Facebook page.
Cool.
I've been putting more work into that. We have over 100 likes on there. And if you want to go to facebook.com/sequelcast and like us there, that's greatly appreciated. Or you can donate by going to sequelcast.com and clicking the donate button. That's all fine and dandy. We started the year off. Oh, you were going to say something?
Well, if you're going to go ahead and go into the year, I was going to ask what you thought, or what series from the past year you looked on with the most fondness. We can save a detailed discussion of it till later. I was just curious.
Sure. The most fun is... I really got a kick out of doing the View Askew Universe series of films. I mean, it was voted on by our listeners as what they wanted to hear the most, by a wide margin.
Cool.
And revisiting Kevin Smith films I hadn't really seen since I was in high school or college was really interesting. I think I like them less in some ways, but in other ways I like sort of like Chasing Amy more, I guess I did, when I thought that was boring when I was younger. So revisiting films that meant a lot to me, that mean less to me now, that I like and appreciate in different ways now, I found very interesting.
Very
cool. And yourself, out of the franchises we covered in 2012, what jumps out to you?
I guess for me, The Muppets, if only because it was just so fun to revisit those films again. Although I think I had the most overall fun with Highlander.
Oh man, Highlander, that's quite the drag.
Well it's such the Highlander series is just so uneven in its peaks and valleys of quality that it's just such a great roller coaster ride to review and riff off of and just generally have a good time with.
It's like you're climbing up a slide that takes you straight down to hell. So,
and Mario Van Peebles is at the bottom.
He's not the bottom. I've heard he's more of a top. He puts the condoms in his mouth and he spits them out. And he's like, what is this? This is a chewy toy.
Why would he do that if he was just going to spit it out? That's very counterintuitive.
Because it's banana flavored and Mario Van Peebles.
Oh, right.
Character
that damn joke.
And Highlander loves bananas. And there was a condom in the mouth joke. So.
Oh, there we go. Yeah.
Yeah. Feels just like the real thing, I'm told. God, that's filthy.
We need to, maybe that should be your New Year's Sequelcast resolution. You're not allowed to say anything vaguely related to sex for the year.
Because it makes Thrasher and the listeners very uncomfortable.
No, the listeners' uncomfortableness is what makes me uncomfortable. I find it delightful.
I see. So let's go chronologically the series we've covered on Sequelcast this past year. Jurassic Park.
Boom.
Which is coming out in a 3D re-release in early March 2013. I got to see a 3D trailer for that before I saw The Hobbit, an unexpected trilogy, unexpected journey.
I am of multiple minds about that. I'm still debating about whether or not I want to see a 3D re-release of Jurassic Park.
I have to say, I'm not a big fan of the 3D bandwagon, but the post-conversion, at least from the trailer for Jurassic Park, looks quite good. I guess Spielberg is heavily involved. They're spending a lot of money and time on it.
Well, that's good to know.
I kind of wish instead they'd do something like call it Jurassic Park Trilogy 3D and just do like the action parts in 3D, like a highlight reel.
Just nothing.
That's what people want to see, right? Yeah, I mean, like, do you want to go to see Phantom Menace in 3D in the theater and see 2 hours of, I think he has midichlorians, Captain.
Well, they're very well rendered Senate debates, so that might be cool to see in 3D.
Me's the one to have an approval of the Senate debate, okay? There's going to be a lot of terrible Star Wars impressions.
I'm sorry, Chancellor, but we will not be making a motion towards Ave the Ravaggio.
That was my Natalie Portman.
Very good. I've heard something about a Phantom Menace, Master Skywalker.
I wish there was a titular line in that movie. That's the only bad thing it doesn't have is a titular line. But we'll save that for when we do
this. This Chancellor Palpatine, he seems like a Phantom Menace.
And that's very much like Jurassic Park. And actually, Jurassic Park.
Yeah.
That was a film series that did have a very even decline between the original and all the sequels.
I loved him as a kid. I'm like, I hate the sequels now. I think 1 and 3 is okay, but like it doesn't hold up. But you know, apparently Spielberg and company are fast tracking a Jurassic Park 4 for release in summer of 2014 is what the latest news says.
Well, I hear the dinosaur survived extinction by hiding in a refrigerator.
That got nuked. Jurassic Park 4 nuked the fridge. Indiana Jones, in fact, I think is going to go with the dinosaurs in that one.
And the thing is, like, although dinosaurs and Indiana Jones would be a perfect blending.
It, It could. I don't know if you'd do Reptile Men or how fantastical
you want
to
take it.
No, no,
just have him discover a lost world.
Oh, yeah, yeah. More of like a literal... Because Jurassic Park 2 is called The Lost World, but it's not really like that classic H.G. Wells story.
No, it just borrows the
title.
I'm not even sure if that's H.G. Wells. All I know is Professor Challenger is there. But yeah, it's...
Yeah.
It's... Yeah, I want to see Indy go team up with some dinosaurs or fight off some dinosaurs. Either way, dinosaurs and Indy need to go together.
You know, when Disney acquired all the Lucasfilm properties, which include Indiana Jones and Star Wars, and we talked this in a prior sequel cast special in 2012, they mentioned in a meeting somewhere that Indiana Jones was not their top priority. Star Wars is.
Oh, yeah.
Because the Indiana Jones toys don't sell year in, year out. It caters to an older demographic. I'm sure they'll do something with Indiana Jones. I think, you know, they do the Star Wars animated Clone Wars series now. You could do a really fun animated Indiana Jones series.
You certainly could. But you know what else is animated? Disney's Aladdin, which is that was the second animated trilogy we've ever done.
I was going through some hard times in my personal life while we were recording that, so there was a gap between some of those episodes, to say the least. And those were fun. We haven't done animation in a very long time in SequelCast, and I'd love to do some of it again.
Oh, absolutely. We need to commit to doing another animated trilogy.
Yeah. Maybe there isn't much of the theatrical animated trilogies. I mean, you got the recent stuff like Ice Age, but that's not quite the same.
No, I want 2D animation, I think.
Yeah, yeah, I think that'd be good. Lion King, Lion King 2, and Lion King 1.5.
I hope we can find an alternative to Disney's direct-to DVD sequels.
Anastasia and Bartok the Magnificent?
I'd be willing to give that. I love Anastasia.
That's more Don Bluth.
That a shot.
Don Bluth directed both of those.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I think that was interesting. The plot to Aladdin 3, what is it, Prince of Thieves? Is that what that's? No, that's Robin
Hood. King of Thieves.
King of Thieves, there you go. Is surprisingly complicated.
As befitting John Rhys Davies.
Yeah, that character model looks awfully young for the voice coming out of it. I wish they would have cast John Rhys Davies as the Lorax. Because then he could have been the trees, the Ents, and Lord of the Rings. Then he could have been the... He speaks for the trees.
I'm the Lorax! I speak for the trees!
But, you know, Danny DeVito in the cartoon, that's an okay choice. I haven't seen the cartoon yet, so I hold my judgment.
You may be pleasantly surprised.
Visually, it looks good. It reminds me of the book, so... We'll see. You're adapting 20-page children's books, but you know it's not adapted from a 20-page children's book. Lethal Weapons. No, no, a sequel cast, yeah. But Lethal Weapon?
Oh, yeah.
That's pretty great.
You know, of everything we've done this year, I think Lethal Weapon is what I remember the least about.
Those movies do kind of blend together. Watching it makes me realize I like Lethal Weapon more than Die Hard.
Really?
And I never thought I'd say that, yeah.
The original movies or the whole series?
The whole series.
Oh.
I think the chemistry between Mel Gibson and Danny Glover playing Murtaugh and Riggs just works so well, and it's you get real fun bad guys in that series too. And I think it's a more consistent franchise than Die Hard is. And we get like Die Hard 5 coming out now.
Oh Lord, yeah. Die Hard.
No. Yippee Ki Yay Die Hard. I forget what it's called because 4 was Live Free or Die Hard.
Oh, is this
I think
a good
5
day
is
to
like
die hard?
A good day to Die Hard.
Oh, yeah.
Where in this one, he's with his grown, abandoned son in Russia.
Well, we are honor-bound to review that movie, since it is from a series we've done. Although, that speaks, not to go back to the year before last year, but that really speaks to something that I really don't like, with a lot of sequels in general, but specifically Die Hard, is that every movie, they destroy whatever progress he's made with his relationship with his family in all the previous movies.
You know, in screenwriting and movies, of course, when you watch it, there's a thing called the character art, where the character starts at one place, and he learns something and grows and becomes more compassionate, or becomes more of an asshole, or whatever happens throughout the film. And so by having, you know, Die Hard's case, having John McClane, played by Bruce Willis, start out as an alcoholic knockabout who hates his kids in the beginning, at the end you can have that moment, oh, now my daughter understands me. And the audience feels all the warm and fuzzies because of the character arc.
Unless, of course, they remember him in any of the previous movies.
But would you want to see a movie be like, I'm John McClane. I love my family. I'm going to crawl through a grate full of glass.
Well, that's part of the key in the original Die Hard. In part, he does all of that because he loves his wife. I guess, like, the thing is, there are other, as you go through life, there are other new challenges that you will face because of your family. It's just like every movie seems to have to start with, oh yeah, and he's separated from his wife, thus invalidating all of his character arc from the previous films.
In that way, you're kind of introducing a James Bond element, kind of having the equivalent of a Bond girl, except it's the McClane girl, I guess. Although hasn't been romantically involved with women in the sequels. I mean, the from Die Hard 1 to Die Hard 2, you got the Bonnie Bedelia as the wife in both of those.
Yeah, and those are the only times that his relationship with his family works.
Yeah, that's fair. It is very. I thought it was very convoluted in part 4 to have the daughter come back, and now you're having the son come back in part 5. So, who fucking knows what's happening? They're dumping this film in like February or March,
yeah.
Which isn't always a great sign. On the other hand, last time I had great fun with like Expendables 2, which looked like it, which is a great improvement over the original. So I think when Expendables 3 comes out, I'd like to cover those films. That's neither here nor there. So from Lethal Weapon, a series of 4 films, we went to a whopper of a franchise with Highlander.
Yep.
And you really liked it because of, what, the blend of the fantasy, the historical, the romance?
Well, it has all the and the Sean Connery, it has all the ingredients of things I like, but what I think for me made it so fun to do for the sequel cast was just because the quality was just like this as it spiraled out of control towards the end. And I think movies of uneven quality really make for better series of episodes for this show.
Well, certainly. And along those lines, it's much easier to talk about a bad film than a good one.
Oh, I don't know.
Really?
Well, it's all about how you talk about the bad film or the good film. Because it's not enough to say that it's bad or it's good. You know, you've got to have an approach. Like, you know, I like what I like.
Okay, I don't know what art is, but I know it when I see it.
That makes even less sense than the line that I just stepped over back there.
With Highlander, you might recall I talked to you about the direct-to-video film Highlander. What is it? The Source.
Oh yeah.
Have you had a chance to see that yet? Because I recall you didn't see it for that episode.
No, there's certain movies that I flat out just wouldn't see unless it's for this show. And so now that we're done with that series, there's just absolutely no pressure or desire for me to track that down.
Does watching movies the sequel cast ever feel like homework to you? It does for me with some of like the really bad sequels.
Very rarely, but usually it's with the last film in a franchise. Mm, like the last Highlander movie I saw, I guess it was Endgame, that did feel like homework to me.
Well, you know, when you have the wonderful acting of Christopher Lambert, where do you come from? Many places. I'm a Highlander from France. I'm part Scottish and Spanish and Egyptian.
No, he's a Scottish Egyptian man from Spain.
I must ask you a question.
Is that question Ramirez?
You just need to YouTube that song from the end credits of Highlander, The Source. It's terrible. Okay. It's like a titular song that would be on the opening credits if that film was released in the 90s. It's like, take me back to the source where the Highlanders come from.
If you remember this, but at one point we had talked about doing an album of expositional songs from movies, but we were going to write original expositional songs.
to like sequels that never existed?
No, no, to actual movies. Because remember the like the I wrote one for Lethal Weapon 3 where the chorus was Lethal Weapon you, Lethal Weapon me, Lethal Weapon us, Lethal Weapon 3.
Well, let me try to do one right now off the cuff. I'll do a chorus for Jurassic Park 3.
Cool.
On Jurassic Park 3, they're on the second... they're on this... Wait, let me do it again.
Okay.
Lion face, tiger face. In Jurassic Park 3, they're on a different island with the pterodactyls going... Down. The pterodactyls flap three times. Jurassic Park 3.
Well, we had a good podcast while it lasted.
Oh, son of a bitch with your monkey puppet. We got a ways to go, kids, so...
We're in for the long haul. We brought snacks.
Yeah. So, I realize this list I gave you isn't in chronological order.
Well, that might just made my confusion.
Yeah, after Highlander, we did Men in Black, I'm pretty sure. The trilogy, which is the first time we've done it coinciding with the theatrical film.
Which was fun. I would like to do more of those.
Yeah, you know, part of the reason I've stayed away from that is, and I knew about this podcast before starting the sequel cast, there's a fantastic podcast called Now Playing, done by Ngaza Media, hosted by Arnie and his friends over at Now Playing. I think nowplayingpodcast.com is their website, where they do movies in a sequel one franchise at a time. But it's always leading up to stuff that's in theaters. And it's typically science fiction or horror. And when I did the sequel cast, I intentionally, try not to do films they've done, even though we're not them. We obviously have different opinions than they do. And they have a great... Have you heard that show before?
Yes, I have.
What did you think of it?
No, I've heard of it. I haven't heard it.
Oh, you should try listening to an episode. I think it's really good. I'd be curious to get your thoughts on it, but
cool.
That's neither here nor there. So I try to do that to differ from them. And also, I'm really proud on the sequel cast how we do a lot of different genres, whether it's shitty 80s comedies or shitty 80s, 90s sci-fi or whatever it is.
The key is it has to have a link to the 80s.
80s or 90s, yeah. Butlers or villains, 80s or 90s. but yeah, this Men in Black one was a lot of fun because Men in Black 3 was... I don't know if I'd quite say excellent, but it was very good. Like, far beyond my expectations. Especially after Men in Black 2.
Yeah, that was a series that began on a high note, had one of the worst middles I've ever seen, and then ended on a high note. I was so pleasantly surprised with Men in Black 3.
When I saw Men in Black 2 in the theater, it was with a girl I was dating in the summer back in Atlanta before I went back to college in Savannah. It was actually right before I started going to SCAD.
Huh.
Actually, so before I knew you, Thrasher, and before we went to see Men in Black 3, her mother was like, that movie's really good. It's directed by Steven Spielberg, which it wasn't.
Yeah.
He was the executive producer, which he's the exec producer in all the films, and it's done through his Amblin Entertainment label. So we saw it. I walked out. Like, I was foaming at the mouth. I was fucking furious. And we go back to my girlfriend's mom. And I said, you know, that's not directed by Spielberg. It's directed by this other guy. And the movie wasn't that good. And she's like, well, I knew the movie wasn't good. I just wanted to make you think it was good before you watched it. So you'd have a good mood.
You and can't
lie. I just wasted $30.
You can't lie someone into having a good movie experience. That's what Hollywood tries
right.
to do.
Yeah, with every trailer, any kind of marketing, you're... putting on your fancy tap shoes and selling a show, right? It's show business. It's not show, as the ancient joke goes.
Well, no, it should be the business of show, not show business. But yeah.
Instead, it's the show of business.
Yeah, that was... This Men in Black 2 was just a tremendous cinematic letdown. And then just the fact that they have to, like, try to tack on an ending loaded with patriotic imagery so soon after 9/11, it just... I felt... More than anything, I felt insulted by Men in Black 2.
That line of dialogue in Men in Black 2 that Tommy Lee Jones has to Rosario Dawson's character, where he says it's something along the lines of, it doesn't rain when you... You don't cry when it rains, baby. It rains when you cry.
Ugh.
Bad, bad, bad.
Let's not talk about that anymore.
But no, if you haven't seen Men in Black 3 and that recently came out on DVD and Blu-ray and iTunes and all that stuff, it's very good. A lot of films don't do time travel well. This one, they did. And when I saw it in the theater, towards the end, there's people that actually were crying in the theater with the stuff that happens with the
let's not
certain
give it
characters.
Away, but they do yeah. earn the emotion in that ending.
I just want to say that in Men in Black 3, Bruce Willis is dead for the whole movie. So
he played the Chinese alien, didn't he?
Yeah, he played the alien Chinaman. That's right. That was very yellow of him to do that.
Oh, that's no.
Terrible, antiquated...
Don't drag me down.
Mockingly racist jokes.
Speaking of which...
Okay.
It's Gremlins.
No, Gremlins was later.
Oh, okay.
After Men in Black, we did Buick Universe, which is the fan voted, you know, initially we did a thing on Facebook.com/sequelcast where people posted what they wanted, and I did that in a survey through SurveyMonkey, and your buddy, Robert Groover, who I'd love to meet, he seems really cool. We've talked to him.
Oh, he's awesome.
I've talked to him a lot. He's the head of the Skirmisher Publishing.
No, that's Michael Varhola, but he does a lot of our,
okay.
I believe he's technically like the PDF or the electronic publications manager, if you want to get technical about the title.
I should look into doing some work for them. Off the record. Oh, shut up now. listeners and viewers don't care about that. I'll do my imitation of Eddie Murphy in Beverly Hills Cop.
Although, if you do care about that, write to us and let us know. We'll work more shop talk into the show.
Right. Okay. So, Buick Universe, all the Kevin Smith movies that feature Jane, Silent Bob, which is quite a lot of them, you know, over half his filmography, I think is safe to say. I said earlier in this show, I found that sort of moving to do that because when I was first getting into studying film and stuff in high school, Kevin Smith and Quentin Tarantino were my entry points. So it was very emotional and interesting to see it as a guy in his, you know, who's 30. Compared to a teenager when I saw him before. So what did you think rewatching the Kevin Smith films?
Well, it just reminded me that I like Kevin Smith more than I like his movies.
Have you listened to any of his podcasts? He has a huge podcast network at Sir Radio.
I have
Podcast
listened to
Internet
a few.
Radio. What did you think?
Overall, they're all right. I mean, my favorite is the ABCs of SNL, simply because that brings us unfiltered.
Which John Lovitz.
Yeah. Lovitz.
No, that was a wonderful series. You might like, if you like Batman, and we've covered the 90s Batman films on an earlier episode of the Sequel Cast over at sequelcast.com on the Kevin Smith Podcast Network, Smodcast Internet Radio, Sir is what they call it. Mm-hmm. They have a new series called Fat Man on Batman, where he talks to people like Paul Dini and Adam West. And Kevin Smith is a huge Batman fan, and it's really cool. Like, I don't even know the comics that well, and he explains it in a way that makes me want to read the comics.
That's pretty cool.
So, I think, although the graphic for the show is horrifying, it's a cartoon drawing of Kevin Smith riding piggyback on Batman, trying to smother him with his hairy thighs. It's more terrifying than my description. After the Buick Universe, we foolishly jumped into a large franchise with The Muppets.
Oh, yeah.
And The Muppets is the only franchise on Sequel Cast where I watched all the films with my wife before watching it for the show. Because she loves The Muppets, but Ivana, who I dearly love, of course, is younger than me. And so she hasn't seen a lot of these Muppet movies. So I showed her Muppet Takes Manhattan and Great Muppet Caper for the first time that she had never seen. So that was a very interesting experience on my end prepping for the show. Do you watch these movies with your lady friend a lot?
Oh, with Sarah? Yeah, on Sarah, occasion. Yeah. The one that we did, actually, we watched the Aldous Snow duology together.
Is there any time where she's like, this sequel's a piece of shit, I'm leaving?
No, I don't recall whether she's ever... I don't believe she's ever flat-out said that while we've watched any movies.
Has she left the room?
No. No, we both have a tremendous tolerance for bad movies, and even movies we don't like. So it takes a very special movie to get either of us to walk away or to turn it off. Which I think most recently was a I don't even remember the title of it. Was this a horror movie where all I remember, it was a low budget horror movie where a woman gets abducted and it's all done found footage style. And it was
a lot of those.
It was sort of both disturbing and crass at the same time.
Was it Wreck? Like we're
no.
Abbreviation for record.
It was a shitty movie. Wreck has ambition. This was just what if a guy recorded himself doing horrible things to a woman? Let's make that as a movie. There's no artistry. There's no message. There's no story. It is just miserable people having terrible things done to them.
I wish Stanley Kubrick was still alive so he could have done a found footage style film.
Oh, no. 2001 was all found footage. The camera drones?
The camera drones, of course. Who could forget the camera drones? Muppets. Yeah, no.
We're looking back on the Muppets. What impressions do you have from that?
You know, since its theatrical release, I've seen the new movie, The Muppets, like 5 times. Mm. Not in the theater, but combined, like, in person. And over Thanksgiving, I had a chance to introduce that film to my sister and my dad.
Cool.
And I thought they'd really be sucked into it, but they weren't.
Really?
And that sort of made me angry, which I don't know why it made me mad.
Muppet
but
rage.
I thought, like when I saw that film, you know, confusingly titled The Muppets, in the theater, I cried in the theater. I cried watching it at home on several occasions for different reasons at different parts. And watching it with my sister, she didn't really click with the movie until they met Fozzie Bear in Reno. And that's when she really got into it.
She likes...
with the Muppets.
Bad Borscht Belt comedy, or she just likes the meta-commentary of the Muppets?
She likes the meta-commentary of the Muppets. She likes Fozzie. She loves Miss Piggy, who don't show up until later in the film. And the latest Muppets film, which apparently is either going to have a title of The Muppets 2 or The Muppets Again... is by the same director, is going to have acting in it Tina Fey, Ty Burrell, who, do you watch the sitcom Modern Family?
No, but I know who he is.
Can you describe him for the audience?
He's that guy from Modern Family.
Which guy in Modern Family?
The guy who isn't the guy who's a kid or from Married with Children.
Is he one of the gay couples?
Maybe. I don't watch the show.
The show's not good as of late, but if you can watch the recent episode with Matthew Broderick cameoing, that was very good. I can't recall off the top of my head which actor Ty Burrell is either, but it's going to be set in Europe, a la Great Muppet Caper, and reportedly Christoph Waltz of Inglourious Basterds fame might be making a cameo.
That'll be awesome.
He was supposed to have a bigger part, and he couldn't fit it in his schedule.
Well, there is I was actually reading some news on the film that supposedly there is a scene that takes place in a Russian gulag.
That could be. I don't think they've filmed it yet. They're just at the point of casting. But you know, the same team that did the song and dance numbers are doing the song and dance numbers for it, and you know, musical numbers are a tradition in the Muppet films. So I'm looking forward to it. And if The Muppets was kind of a rebooted origin story, I'll be interested in where they take it, because I really did not like Great Muppet Caper, and this isn't a remake or anything, but we'll see what they do.
It'll be the movie that the Muppets made after they got back together, as opposed to the previous film, which was a movie about the Muppets getting back together.
Very good. After the Muppets, we'll be right back. No, we did Gremlins.
Another puppety film series.
I have a sore spot in my heart when we did Gremlins.
Really?
And it has nothing to do with the sequel cast. It's because my grandma on my mom's side of the family died while we were recording those episodes. And so you're kind of being like, hey, it's the sequel cast, Gremlins, yay. You know, but like deep down, I went to her funeral in between doing some of those episodes, and it was hard for me. But it was ironic because... I have a memory about Gremlins with my grandma, where she bought me a copy, I think for Easter of all things, of Gremlins 2 on the Nintendo when I was a little kid. And so because of that connection, I just was crying nonstop watching the Gremlins trying to prep for sequel cast. But it was really, the Gremlins is the first time, I'd like to do it more, actually. I've had a friend come into my recording studio here in Portland, Oregon, to do the show with me live in the studio, which ideally, that'd be the best thing to do every time, but we can't.
Yeah, I'd love to bring somebody else into my study here and bring them on the show.
Well, I thought you said Sarah was interested in doing a show or something.
Well, part of it is kind of like a nervous about public speaking sort of thing, and part of it is just, you know, we have to have just the right kind of movie. And frankly, but I think she would be good. I mean, but out of everyone I know here, she's the only person that likes film as much as I do.
Now, when you... excuse me. When you've done some of your Google video podcast for Skirmisher Publishing, are those people local to Kentucky, or are they just...
No, two of them are in Texas, and one of them is in California.
Gotcha. I just remember watching one where you had someone in your recording studio.
Oh, well, that was the one. That was Andy Hopp. That's when we were in Ohio at Con on the Cob. That was actually recorded in the special dining room in that hotel convention center.
Oh, so your computer is a MacBook?
No, I borrowed a friend's MacBook laptop.
Oh, okay. But at home, you use an iMac?
At home, not to give any free product endorsement, but at home, yes, I do use a Macintosh.
I recently made the switch from PC to Mac, and I'm surprisingly happy with it after resisting it for so many years. Cool. So it's quite a switch with the interface and everything, and programs not crashing. That's a shock. Not crashing as much, I guess I could say, but no. In all seriousness, after Gremlins, we did another breather, a short series. With Anne Rice's Vampire Chronicles.
Oh, yeah.
I like these. I thought these were very fun to do.
It was fun for me, too, because we hadn't really done a horror franchise in a long time. And I don't know. I just have a real soft spot for Interview with a Vampire.
Yeah. It's one of those things where it's a film that... The books are so dense, and how do you translate that to film? And so kind of seeing how they did it in two different ways. One, which was pretty lavishly faithful for the most part with Interview with a Vampire and Queen of the Damned, where they kind of flushed the book down the toilet and said, we're just going to make something sexy and stylish and oriented towards youth.
Or you do what you do today. You make a trilogy.
Yeah, Well, I mean, the difference, though, is the Anne Rice books are so dense, you could do a trilogy out of one book and not cover everything. Unlike The Hobbit, where it's a series of stories where the hobbits went into a cave and they were attacked by monsters, and Gandalf saved them. And then they got lost in another cave, and then Gandalf saved them again. And then they fought a dragon, and then a human saved them. And then they fought, and then they all became friends, and then they returned home with a shitload of money. Yay!
Well, thank you for shitting on Professor Tolkien's work.
I say that loving okay. The Hobbit. The Hobbit means a lot to me. But it was originally published, I think, in the late 30s. And it's more of a children's story than Lord of the Rings. That doesn't mean it can't be enjoyed by adults, but it's more of a simplistic narrative. Is that a fair statement?
I'm not going to say it's a more simplistic narrative, but it's just a more bouncy, kid-friendly story.
Right.
You know, it's the campfire tale you tell when you have the marshmallows going. It's not the campfire tale you tell when everyone wants to go to sleep and you're ready to chill the blood.
It's Picaresque, to use a fancy Brit-lit phrase. So, Anne Rice's Vampire Chronicles. After that, we closed out the year with the... sort of taking a break around the holidays. We looked at the Aldous Snow duology. What did you think about those?
That was fun. I love both of those movies. I loved watching them with my girlfriend, Sarah. I loved talking about them. we don't do nearly enough comedies on the sequel cast.
That's a great point, because we started out doing quite a lot of comedies with Smokey and the Bandit and
Caddyshack.
And I guess that's not a lot of comedies.
But Beverly Hills Cop, ostensibly.
Sure, that's fair.
Gosh, yeah, that would be like the first year of the sequel cast was mostly comedies.
You're right. So, I mean, looking back, I mean, this is a sequel cast special, but we're kind of looking over the whole family of shows. Out of all the sequel commentaries we did with its year run of that series, it was less than a year, I guess. What was the one that was your favorite?
I think my favorite's the one for the Super Mario Brothers. That was the most
fun
to record, yeah. And for the most fun to listen to. And I do listen to this show whenever the day before we record a new sequel cast, I listen to the previous episode of the sequel cast just to kind of critique myself and always try to improve it.
And how painful is it listening to the sound of your own voice and hearing me say over and over again?
Not bad. I'm in love with my voice, and I'm in love with people that make me sound better. I enjoy the sequel cast. I would be, if I wasn't on the show, I would be a fan.
Thanks. No, that's great. I'm amazed it's gone on this lot, and it's still fun to do, and it still has a great... the audience is just growing and growing. I mean, one big thing we failed to mention at the top of the show that the sequel cast shows did this year is the sequel cast podcast out of the different podcasts became a member of the Battleship Retention Fleet. And you might ask, Matt, why don't you ask me this, Thrasher? I'm going to type it in the chat box.
Okay, stranger.
Make a joke.
All right, well... A lot of people don't know this, but Stalin's grave was a communist plot. Boom!
A communist plot?
A communist plot.
I never would have guessed.
Let's sing it. A communist plot.
A communist plot.
A communist plot.
A communist plot.
All right. How long is this question? This is taking an inordinate amount of time for you to sing.
I've been drinking a fine mixture of... brandy and hot water. I call that boozy tea.
Oh, it's a sin to water down alcohol.
Yep. Saves on the dollars. Okay.
I like the phrase boozy tea. That's a boozy tea might be my nickname this summer. So Matt, why did you decide the sequel cast should be a part of a podcast network when the Cascadia FM thing didn't take off?
That's a great question, Thrasher. Part of it was increasing listenership. I think part of it was I just recall having such a great time having Tyler Smith of Battleship Retention as a guest for some of our Batman episodes in 2011, or it might have been 2010 even, I don't recall, and having the Josh Miller as a guest for one of the Muppets episodes. And their podcasts are funny, but they're smart, and they match us as far as the tone we're trying to go for. So I thought it was a good fit and took a lot of negotiation, but I'm glad we're in there, and I'm hoping we get... it seems like we're getting more listeners and all these things.
Very cool.
So, Thrasher, I hear your voice. I hear these sonorous tones. And how come you don't get women pregnant with your sensual voice?
Well, because that's physically impossible, because my voice doesn't carry genetic material. It does, however, carry a certain amount of theta radiation.
Did you say Thaco radiation? You got to roll dice to make sure they get radiated.
No, its armor class isn't zero. No, theta radiation.
Looking at the sequel cast specials we did over this year, past year, I really had I had fun with all of them, of course, but I thought the one we did that was very topical about Disney buying Lucasfilm was pretty heated.
Yeah, that was a real
and
fun,
also,
high-energy, off-the-cuff episode.
And also the ones we did about Marvel and DC comic stuff was educational for me because I haven't read that many comic books in my life. I pick up a graphic novel here and then. But speaking of the DC comic stuff, you know how DC Comics has done a lot of direct-to-video stuff?
Yep.
And when I try to watch them, I always get lost because I'm not familiar with the comic or I think the character design looks cheap or the animation isn't quite there. But I liked this recent one of All-Star Superman.
Hmm.
Did you read the comic by Grant Morrison? Or?
Regrettably, no. I would like to.
It's sort of a reboot, but it's sort of, to put it frankly, it begins and ends Superman in one fell swoop. With it was like 13 issues or so in the comics, and then the movie is just 75 minutes. But it's a good story. It's an emotional story that even is a bit moving at the end. I would like to see them incorporate some parts of that story. They kind of incorporated elements of the Silver Age of comics with the more fantastical, with kind of a more modern, hip, ironic, meta sense of humor. And it's very good. I think you should check it out. It's on a certain streaming internet video service.
Cool. I would.
That rhymes with Wetflix.
By the way, Wetflix, hot site.
It is. I get wet just thinking about them. I just got wet twice. I got to change my pants.
Well, I was going to say, I would love it if there was a... to do a new Superman movie, but do it completely straight, and also do it as a period piece.
Yeah. You know, we got Man of Steel coming out in 2013. That'll be very interesting to see what they do with all that. I have no idea. It'll be...
Which we actually talked about that in a Lost special episode.
Oh, shit. Yeah, we should do a shout out for that on this Sequel Cast special. Originally, Sequel Cast special episode 20 was going to be a look back at theatrical films of 2010. We recorded a fantastic episode, if I do say so myself, with me, Thrasher, and former co-host of the show, friend of the show, Jersey Jason. And because I'm on a Mac now, I'm still learning some stuff. Somehow along the way, things got messed up, and it might just be Skype with its voodoo magic. I don't even know. But stuff got way out of sync, and I wasn't comfortable releasing the episode where the audio was out of sync for half the episode. And I've done that before on older episodes of the Sequel Cast, and I regret that still to this day. But
maybe we'll.
So I'm not sure if I can salvage that.
Maybe we'll put the raw audio files out there as bonus content, and maybe some brave fan will figure out a way to make it all work.
I could upload it as a YouTube video, maybe, and not put it on the podcast feed. It's possible. Sequel Cast, longer, uncut, and flaccid. No. So we've talked a hell of a lot this show about, you know, the anniversary of Sequel Cast. So given that we're wrapping up this episode, what are you looking forward to in 2013? We'll be launching a new show in February, Video Game Sequel Cast, which I originally tried to get started through Kickstarter. Due to a lack of a promotion by me, it never got funded.
You should have had me doing promotional videos like I did for the Swords of Coast Kickstarter.
Well, I gave you the lessons I learned from the failure of the Video Game Sequel Cast Kickstarter, which I think you took to heart.
True.
In doing a lot of updates for the your Swords,
whatchamacallit, Swords of Coast.
Kickstarter. Swords of Coast, which had a monkey puppet show, right?
Yep, starring the monkey puppet Euripides. That was our special last minute pledge, was that we would do a monkey puppet show, and like for every $100 over we got, we were going to add new features to the monkey puppet show. We came just short of Abraham Lincoln.
I mean, you know, you look at Kickstarter and Indiegogo, which are similar sites. It's just fascinating how much that's the thing of crowdsourcing funding, so to speak, has taken hold. Even, you know, Hollywood directors recently, Paul Schrader, who was the writer of Taxi Driver and has directed several films over the years, wasn't able to get an independent film financed through Hollywood, so he had to finance, I think, like half of it through Kickstarter. And it's starring Lindsay Lohan and a porn star as the male star of the film, who's trying to cross over into more mainstream work. I don't recall his name. It's called The Canyons. It'll be coming out in 2013, stars Lindsay Lohan. And it's written by the author of the book American Psycho, Bret Easton Ellis. So in that highbrow, popular success, people still have to resort to Kickstarter to get something more indie funded. It just really speaks volumes.
Well, I mean, anything that takes power away from the studios and the banks, I'm all for.
But without the banks, I couldn't do, I'd have to store my money under the bed.
And
a roll of cash. And my cats would probably pee on it and try to eat it.
Well, okay, yeah, that is a concern.
I got some pissed off kitties.
I will not be paid in urine money.
You're not kidding about that one.
No, I'm not kidding about that either.
This kitten has claws.
Dr. Claw Gadget.
Okay, we got to do Inspector Gadget.
Yeah, what? There's just two of those live action films.
Thank goodness.
Yeah. The second one is French Stewart,
who should have played him the first time.
Yeah. Jesus Christ. So we've talked about a lot. So to wrap this fucking episode up for Sequel Cast Special, episode 20, the 3-year anniversary of Sequel Cast Podcast, what are you looking forward to in 2013?
Well, Inspector Gadget, I'm looking forward to that. I am looking forward to the video game Sequel Cast. I do want us to talk. I think I do want us, and we might even be able to use the video game Sequel Cast for this, but I would like us to talk more about media tie-ins with these film franchises.
What do you mean?
Well, like, novelizations, merchandise, things that exist outside of the movie. The merchandising.
Where
the real money from the movie is made. And I'd certainly like to touch more on that. I think it would bring a nice new dimension to talking about film franchises. And also, with your permission, I would like to do some sequel commentaries independently.
We could work that out. With you recording the file locally and doing it over Dropbox. This is talk and shop for the listeners. That's doable. I think, also in 2013, this isn't the only thing I'm excited about, but I'll finally be making Sequel Cast business cards.
Nice.
And we'll send you some Thrasher to pimp at conventions should you so choose.
Absolutely. Thank you very much, sir.
Certainly. In 2013, I pledged to try and, 2012 wasn't a great year as far as we had great guests on the show, but not a lot of guests as we have in years past. Mm-hmm. I think guests add a lot to the show when we get them on, so I'm going to try to at least book one guest for an episode in a franchise. What do you think about guest on Sequel Cast and how that
generally, I think it's a good idea, but I do like them parsed out. To make room for a guest, you get less of us. And I'll admit, if the guest doesn't quite jive with what we're doing, it can become very stifling.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you're not talking about the Chinatown episode, are you? No, of course you're not.
The faults of the Chinatown episode are pretty much on us, not really on the guest. Although he did not exactly work with the cut of our jibs to begin with. It was awesome to have him on, but
absolutely.
In the moment on the that should have been an interview. That shouldn't have been a live conversation.
Along those lines, I think I might maybe do more of those brief interview clip-it things to tack onto the front of the show, because you're not asking for much an investment as people's time, and you can kind of get in and get out and put a clip-it on it. I'm certainly going to try and track down some guests for the Star Wars shows we have coming up. And BJ, friend and occasional co-host of the show, has expressed a great interest.
Oh, he's definitely going to be on
things,
Star Wars.
All things about the Wars of the Stars, known in Spanish as Las Guerras de las Galaxias. So I think we've done a great job covering the 2012... for the Sequel Cast shows and all the different shows we do on here. Any last thing, Thrasher, before we close out for the evening?
I'm looking forward to the rest of the year.
Let's close things out with a hideous imitation, or just a recent imitation we've been working on.
All right.
You start. Celebrity imitation. Something.
Anyone or just...
Any. Star Wars imitation.
Oh, a Star Wars imitation.
On Sequel Cast.
How progresses the training, my young friend?
I was going to do that same one. Let's do a bit Dueling Emperors.
Okay. So should I
we'll close that. Improv comedy.
Should I start or should you?
I'll start. The Emperor meets his clone in the abandoned wreckage of the second Death Star 3 months after Return of the Jedi. Okay. I'll begin. It is a shame the Empire has failed this time. Perhaps we'll have another time to not fail.
Well, you certainly shan't be behind the rise of the Empire, you filthy clone bastard.
Oh my! It's me! But it's not me. I'm me. Drat.
I don't like twist endings. I prefer twist beginnings. Now go forth and do my dark work.
I have plenty of dark work for you to do. I have a toilet full of much of darkness, and you must make it light, so I can fill it with my dark side.
I don't work blue, and I certainly don't work brown. You can take your toilet humor and go, lest I lightning bolt you or something.
Perhaps you will work red with my red lightsaber.
Oh, that's how it's going to be, then. Just a moment. Double lightsabers.
Why need two when one can do the job just as well?
Because I like
twice the.
I like to decapitate and disembowel at the same time.
Surely you will face the dark side of the Force. Oh, wait, you're already on the dark side.
Yeah, listen, bitch. I am the dark side. You want to step up? I will bring it.
The Emperor One turns around and pulls down his pants, revealing his exposed buttocks to Emperor Two.
Oh, God. Looks like one of those white pumpkins that's been left out too long. Put that away.
It's a white pumpkin, but it's about to turn brown with ultimate power.
You are by far the most defective clone I have ever met. And I've met Anakin Skywalker. Lightning!
I've never had my body vibrate with the power of Force lightning. It's mildly pleasurable.
Oh, God, he's got all of my worst traits. He's only got my worst traits.
And scene!
Listen. End scene. Okay.
So let's never do that again.
It's almost as bad as our Lost to the Legends sketch of Julian William Shatner's.
Okay, time-traveling William Shatner meets non-time-traveling William Shatner.
Exactly.
That would be a fun routine to reconstruct, but also dark and disturbing.
Check us out at sequelcast.com for the Sequelcast family of shows. And you can follow me, Matt, at Sequelcast, and you can follow Thrasher at Internet Mayor. For a Sequelcast special, this is Matt.
And this is Thrasher.
Saying,
go home! Go home!
But I left a little bit of popcorn in my pants. It doesn't have a buttery topping. Oh, wait. Now it does.
Oh, step in time.
Sequelcast Special is a Hipster Goblin production.